And greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yad Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, at the very bottom of the Amud, the beginning of the 8th Perak HaShoel Et HaParah, in which we deal with the issue of Shoel and the liability of someone who borrows, and we're going to begin with the issue of under what circumstances a Shoel is not liable because the owner of the animal is with him in that work, as you could see in Pasuk number 3 on the page, and I'll explain the layout of the Pasukim in a minute, in which Ba'alav Einimo Shalem Shalem, if the owner of the animal is not with the borrower, then the borrower is liable, but if he is with him, then he doesn't have to pay. So, Shoel Tapara V'Sha'al Ba'aleha Ima, if you borrowed the animal, and you borrowed the owner, as it were, Osachar Ba'aleha, you hired the owner with it, Sha'al HaBa'alim Oscharan V'Yacharkach Sha'al Tapara Omeita, or let's say that you first borrowed, as it were, or hired the owner, and then borrowed the cow, in any of those cases, it then died, Patur, why Shenemar Im Ba'alav Imo Lo Yishalem? Pasuk says that if the owner is with the animal, you don't have to pay. But if it's in the opposite order, where you first borrowed the animal and then you got the owner to come with you to do the work, then you're chayav shenemar balav einimo shalem yishalem. So the interpretation of the pasuk is not whether the owner is with you at the time it died, but rather whether the owner came along with or preceded the borrowed animal being transferred to the Shoel. Okay, one small piece of the Gemara, and then I'll explain the order of the Pesukim. Miktani Seifa V'achar Kach Shal Tapara, from the fact that in the Seifa, when we said that in the particular order where you're still Chayiv, that's Achar Kach Shal Tapara Michal Dereisha Miktani Ima Ima Mamash. So that means that in the Reisha, where you had two choices, either the Baalim preceded or came with really means with. It doesn't mean you borrowed the animal, and after borrowing the animal, you said, come along and help. But how could you simultaneously take possession as a shoel of the para and also of the owner as a worker? So, para mishicho balim bamira. After all, the para becomes yours when you pull it, and the owner when you say to him, come work for me. So, one possibility is, if the para was already in the shoel's chatzer, which means there's no din of mishicha, and with one statement to the owner, I want to borrow your cow and you, everything comes along. Or you hire the fellow and you say, you do not become mine until I take possession of the para. All right, so there's an end around. Now, this next piece is going to analyze the Mishnah that we had at the end of the previous parak, which gives us the layout of the Arba Shomrim. And the Arba Shomrim, as I mentioned in the last podcast, are presented in three consecutive parshiot in Parshat Mishpatim, Perak Chaf Bet of Shemot, which are presented as Psukim 1, 2, and 3. They're not really Psukim, they're groups of Psukim. Section 1, we're going to identify as Shomer Chinam, we'll see why. Number 2 is Shomer Sachar, and number 3 is Shoel, and that one's easy. Alright, Arba Shomrim him. Shomer Chinam, Vashon, Osei Sachar, Vasocher. Alright, Shomer Chinam Nishba Al Hakol, Vashomer Sham Et Hakol, Osei Sachar, Vasocher, Nishba Al Shvura, Al Shvuya, Ve'al Meito, Misham Met Avida, Et Hagneva. That's the Mishnah back in the previous parak, and we just saw it in the previous podcast. Menahani Mili. Our question now is, where do we know all of these rules from? What are the basics? Tatana Rabbanan. Parsha Rishonanim Rabbi Shomer Chinam. Parsha number 1, which means in our case, Pasuk 1 on the page, which is three Pesukim, is talking about a Shomer Chinam. Shniyah b'Shomer Sachar, the second one is Shomer Sachar, Shlishit b'Shoel. And therefore, all of the liabilities follow from there. Now, b'Yishtamah Shlishit b'Shoel, the fact that Pasuk 3 is about a Shoel, Mufurash v'chishal ish mi'im reyu, v'nish baro meit, v'alav enimo, shalim yishalem. Pasuk explicitly says, if you borrow. So we know it's a borrower. Elegishonah b'Shomer Chinam, Shem b'Shomer Sachar, epochana. Now, for some reason, we start with the assumption that one of the first two is Shomer Chinam and the other one is Shomer Sachar, but how do I know which is which? Because they both say, V'chi yitein ish al re'eyu. If a man gives to another fellow something to watch. So who says the first one is Shomer Chinam? So the answer is, Mistabra shnir b'Shomer Sachar. It makes sense that number two is Shomer Sachar. Why shekein chayav b'gneva v'aveda? Because there, in the second parsha, it's clear that you're liable for more than you're liable in the first. So that has to be Shomer Sachar. So Adaraba, Rishonim Shomer Sachar, Shkem Mishlam Tashlumei Kev, Batolin Tanav Ganav. After all, we learned, and this goes back to the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, that the first parsha, the one that we now are identifying as being Shomer Chinam, is where we learn that if you're towing Tanat Ganav, which means something, you stole it, you hid it for yourself, and you claim that a Ganav took it, and it turns out you're lying, you have to pay Kefal, is learned from there. So that should be Shomer Sachar, because after all, Shomer Sachar is greater liability. The answer is no. Afilo hachi, karnar b'lo shvua, difa mikfeila b'shvua. The fact that in the second parsha, you are liable for Ganeva, when it was really a Ganeva, and not that you took a Shvuah and lied, that is a stronger indication of Chumrah than the fact that you pay Kefal when you lied under oath, which is in the first Parsha. And now, what's the proof of this? That as we move up the scale of liability, we also move up the scale of Hanoa to the Shomer. Teda de HaShoel kol Hanoa shelo v'einu mishalim el karen. After all, a Shoel gets all the benefit. We'll test that in a minute. And he only pays Karen. In other words, if he lies and says it was stolen, doesn't matter, he still pays Karen because the lie doesn't help him at all. Vashoa kolana shalo, parenthetically, is the shoa really get all the hanav? Abai mazoni, he has to feed the animal? So the kaimal gam, bagam, so the animal's in a marsh where it has its own food. Abai natira, you have to watch it. Menatamata, it's watched by the guardian of the city. In other words, you could construct a case where a person borrows an animal and really has no liability and all benefit. The other way to say it is, unlike a Shomer Chinam, where he only has liability, or a Shomer Sachar, where he has mainly liability, but he gets paid for it, a Shoel mainly has Hanah. Yeah, he has to feed it, he has to watch it, but that's about it. The other possibility is B'she'ilat Kelim. When you borrow vessels, you don't have to feed them or watch them in the same way. You have to keep them locked up. But you got all the Hanah. So alright, so that's how we established that Parsha 1 is Shomer Chinam, Parsha 2 is Shomer Sachar, Parsha 3 is easy that it's Shoel. But now, this of course is an analysis of the earlier Mishnah. How do we know that an Osei Sachar and a Sochar, that's according to Yehuda, or Remei, according to the flip, take an oath on something, an animal that's damaged or dies or is taken captive, and they have to pay for Aved and Gneva. So Bishlam Gneva, I understand that a Shomer Sachar has to pay for Gneva Dichtiv in the second parsha. In Ganovi Gneva Moshal, Ishalim Valav. If it's stolen, he has to pay. Halaveda Menalam, it doesn't say anything about Aveda there. So how do I know if it's lost, he has to pay? Titania, Im Ganovi Ganev, the fact that it says Im Ganovi Ganev, Ainli Ela Gneva, all that tells me is if it's stolen. Aveda Minayin, if it's lost, how do I know? Talmud Lomar, Im Ganov Yiganev. The double language of Ganov Yiganev is there to allude to Advaita also. Mikol Makom. Now, Hanech Alamandam Alamin Dibra Torah Kilshon Bnei Adam. Now, there's a famous machloket of Rishmo Rabbi Kiva about whether the Torah uses colloquial language and therefore we should not be too exacting about phrases like Ganov Yiganev. Or, and that's called Dibra Torah Kilshon Bnei Adam. That's Rabbi Shmuel's position. Or Rabbi Kiva's position was Lo Dibra Torah Kilshon Bnei Adam, and every word is exacting. So now, according to Rabbi Kiva, this works well in Ganov Yiganev. El Mandam Arminan Dibra Torah Kilshon Bnei Adam, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says, Ganov Yiganev, that's the way it talks. Ma'ika Lameymar. So then where are you going to get Aveda from? So Amr Marav in Eretz Yisrael, they had an answer, Kalva Chomer. After all, Uma Gneva Shakur Vel Onus. Think about it. Gneva is close to Onus. You have the thing locked up. Somebody broke into your shed or your house and stole it. Mishalim Avedim Shakur Vel Pshia Lokoshkin. If you lost it, that's closer to neglect. So certainly you should have to pay. So V'idach, how then would Rabbi Akiva answer that? In other words, he would agree it's a Kalvachomer. If the Torah explicitly makes you liable for Gneva, certainly you're chayiv for Aveda, which is more neglect on your part. So then if that's the case, why does the Torah say Mganovi Ganev? The answer is milta datu v'kavachomer tachachatav lakra. It's a principle that we use as a last resort. And that is that sometimes the Torah will tell you something explicitly, even though we could have figured it out by a kavachomer. Okay, in that mission again, v'ashoel mishalim et hakol. Shoel has to pay for everything. Meaning, shvura shvuya umeta. Right? Which means that if it's hurt, if it's damaged, if it dies, or if it's taken captive. So, bishma shvura umeta dichtiv. I understand if it's damaged or it dies. The Torah explicitly says if you borrow something and it gets damaged or dies, you have to pay. Ela shvuya b'sholin alan. How do we know that a shvuya, an animal that's taken captive, in other words, pirates come through and steal the animal, how do I know you have to pay? Machite menelaf mishvuya umeta. Are you going to learn it or infer it from shvura umeta? Meaning, from the other two things that are explicitly there, and say, aha, if shvura umeta, so then shvuya also. That doesn't work. Because mal shvura umeta shekein unser asalik adaitahu. After all, an animal getting hurt or dying is something you could sort of anticipate. So I understand why you'd be liable. But something that's taken captive, that's something you could never have in mind. It's suddenly out of nowhere, a marauding band of pirates came and took the animal of rustlers. It's something you couldn't consider. So maybe you're potter. So shvura umeita is not going to give you shvuya. Ella nemra shvura umeita b'shoel v'nemra shvura umeita b'shomer sachar. The answer is that a shoel explicitly talks about a shvura umeita for which you are liable, and shvura umeita is expressed in shomer sachar as being potter. Mal al in shvuya imo afkan shvuya imo. So just like in the case of a shomer sachar, not only is he exempt from shvura umeita, he's also exempt from shvuya. Similarly, in a shoel, he's liable for shvura umeita, he's going to be liable for shvuya. The problem is that doesn't work. Ikalimifrach, mal al shomer sachar shken liftur. It's one thing to say, if the Torah exempted a shomer sachar when the animal died, so it also exempts it when the animal is taken captive. But you can't say that just like the Torah found you liable as a shoel if the animal died, so you're liable if it's taken captive. Who says? Maybe being taken captive is less liability on you, and that's why the shomer sachar is also putter. And perhaps that's even why the Torah didn't have to mention it, because it's more obviously exempt. So that doesn't help us here. In other words, the parallel, the construct of a parallel that's trying to be made here, which is that shvura umeita implies also shvuya for an exemption for a shomer sachar, is not going to tell you that shvura umeita, which is liable for a shoel, will include shvuya. Ella ki Rabbi Natan. The answer is we get it from Rabbi Natan. Tani Rabbi Natan omer, o l'rabot shvuya. When the Torah says, nishbar omeit, o is there to tell you shvuya also. Because it could have said nishbar umeit. So hi omi baile l'chalek. Wait a second. O is needed there in order to distinguish, to separate and compartmentalize shvura from meita. Desalkadaita chamena ad mitabra umeit lo mechayev. Maybe the only time you're chayev is nishbar umeit. Means first has to be hurt and then die and then you're chayev. But if it just died, got hit by a bolt of lightning, or it died because you didn't feed it, or it just got hurt, maybe you don't have to pay. Kamash Malan, therefore the O is there to tell you either one or the other. Now that will only work, L'Rabbi Yonatan. However, Shaya Ma'ikul Memra, as we'll see a machloket about the fourth pasuk on the page, which has nothing to do with Shmira, but their interpretation of conjunctions and used in a list. Tanya, Isha Shei Kalel Et Aviv Ve'etimo. So he there's a death penalty. Ainli El Aviv Imo, all that tells me is if he curses his mother and his father. Aviv Elo Imo, Imo Belo Aviv Minai. And how do I know if you just curse one parent, Yechayev? Tamil Omar, Aviv Imo Kilel, Aviv, the end of the pasuk is Aviv Imo Kilel Damav Bo. So in other words, it starts with Asheri Kalel Et Aviv Et Imo. And then it says Aviv Imo Kilel, so the word Kilel is now next to Imo. And the first part is next to Aviv. Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel, Divrei Rabbi Shia. So Rabbi Shia says that you need the pasuk to lay out explicitly that you're liable for each one separately. Otherwise, I would think that you're only liable if you curse both of them, and that would tell me then again I need the O in our case to tell me that Shvura Umeita Yechayev for. But Rabbi Yonatan Omer Mashma Shnehem Keachad, right? Umashma Chad Bifnei Atzmo. That Isha Shei Kalel Aviv Et Imo implies both cursing them together and cursing them independently. Ad Shifrod L'Chakatuv Yachtav, meaning until the Torah says they really have to be together, like it says about the Shnei Seirim or about the parents of the Ben Zohar Moreh, then I assume that it's separate. So according to Rabbi Yonatan, I don't need the O L'Chalek. Therefore, the O is there L'Rabot Et HaShvuya. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that without the O, I really would think that it's Shvura Umeita, meaning Shvura Umeita has to go through both. O is there to separate them. Shvura Umeita, each one of them, either one of them, will generate liability. I still don't have a source for Shvuya. So the answer is, even Rabbi Shimon would accept this. Why? Here you don't need l'chalek. With the Avivim, you need l'chalek, because perhaps the Torah only obligates when you curse both. But here you don't need that. My time, Svarahu, it makes sense. Malikat l'kula, malikat l'balga. And after all, if you're liable for a kill, for an animal dying on your watch, you're also liable if an animal gets injured on your watch. What's the difference if it half dies or all dies? And therefore, there's no reason to think Shvura Umeita are both necessary. And therefore, nobody would consider that you have to have both happen to be liable. Therefore, the understanding is that you're liable if either one happened, and O is there, Rabot et ha Shvuya. Okay, Kneva Vaveda Bashol Manalan. This is the last piece we're going to do in this podcast. How do I know that you're liable for Kneva Vaveda? Because the Torah only said in the case of Shoel that you're liable for Shnishbar Umeit. So how do I know you're chayv for the Kneva Vaveda? So the Chitem Anelef Mishvur Umeita, you want to say that you should learn from Shvur Umeita. In other words, Shvur Umeita, which is less in your control, you're liable for. Certainly Kneva Vaveda you're chayv for as a Shoel. So you could counter that. Mala Shvur Umeita de lo efshe lemitrach vatuye. In the case of Shvur Umeita, it's dead. You can't go run after it. So maybe you're liable for that. From Gneva Veda de efshe lemitrach vatuye. In the case of a stolen or lost animal, you could try to find it. Maybe you're not liable. Maybe you just have to try to find it. Ella, so that is not the source. Elaha kihadetanya. From the following. Vinishbar Umeit. The pasuk says about a shoel. Ainli ela Shvur Umeita. All I know is if it got injured or died. Okay, so it's asking our question. Amart kavachomer. It's simple. If a shomer sachar who is exempt if the animal died is liable if it was stolen, so a shoel is liable if it died. Certainly is liable if it got stolen. That's the end of the braita. You cannot challenge this kavachomer. It's ironclad. Now, Mayan Alav Tshuva, what does that mean? What's the challenge that you thought you could have that we're saying doesn't exist? The Chitei Ma'ikal Mifrach, because you thought you could challenge as follows. Mala Shomer Sachar, Shekin Mishalim, Tashlumi Kefa, Batoin Tan, at least in Mizuyan. A Shomer Sachar, in a sense, is more Chamur than a Shoel. And it's something we dealt with in Bava Kama. Because a Shomer Sachar, if he were to claim an armed robber came and stole it, and takes an oath to that effect, and he's lying, he has to pay Kefal. A shoel would not pay kefil. Why doesn't a shoel pay kefil? Because he'd have to pay even if at least the mizuyim came anyways. So he's not exempting himself at all. Remember, you only pay kefil as a shomer who lies if your lie would have exempted you from payment. So a shomer sachar, from that perspective, is more chamur than a shoel. But of course, he's more chamur for a shoel because he's more kal than a shoel. The fact that the shoel has to pay keren when it's stolen is a stronger indication of what's more chamur. So that's one way of looking at how we know Shfuya. It's a kal v'chomer from Gneva Aveda. Now, Ibaitema, there's another way to go. Kasover listim mezuyan gazlan hu. That he holds that a listim mezuyan is a gazlan, and therefore, a shoel, in that case, a shomer sachar, were to lie about it and say that a listim mezuyan came, he still would only pay Karen because you have to pay Karen in any case. So in that case, there really is no chumer whatsoever. Now, ashkachan l'chiyuv. All we found now is that a shoel is chayiv b'gneva v'aveda kal v'chomer v'shomer sachar. Liftur menalan. How do we know? Remember, our entire Mishnah was about the issue of the exemption of a shoel from payment if the owner is working with him at the time. How do I know if the owner is working with him at the time and the animal is stolen or lost that he's pater? Because that's not in the pasuk. Chitem menelef from Shvur Umeita. Maybe you can learn it from Shvur Umeita. The answer is me. Shvur Umeita shekein onus. After all, Shvur Umeita, you would say, oh, the owner's with me and an onus happened, I'm pater. But if the owner's with me, but I'm not careful and it gets lost or it gets stolen, maybe I'm chayiv. Elagamar mishomer sachar. We learn from shomer sachar, right? Just like in the case of shomer sachar, gneva va'aveda, if the master's with me, in other words, he hired me to watch it, and then he came along and joined me in watching it, and then it got stolen, I'm potter. So therefore, shoel also. Shomer sachar gufin alan. How do I know that premise? How do I know that a shomer sachar himself is exempt if the owner is with him when the animal's stolen? So, the answer is, and it's circular, that we learn the liability of a shomer sachar from the liability of a shoel. Malahalan Balim Patur, Afkan Balim Patur. And just like in Shoel, if the owner's with you, you're Patur, so in a Shomer Sacher, whatever you're liable for, you're exempt for if the owner's with you. Now, but my Gomer, how'd you get there? Iba Mematsinu, if you're going to do it from a common denominator, Ikalimifrach Kedaparchinan. Shekain Ones. After all, Shvur Meta is an Ones. Alamar Kra, Vichi Yishal. The Parsha of Shoel comes right after Shomer Sacher with the Vav. Vav Mosif Al Nyan Rishon. The Vav is a conjunction, which says that these two parshiyot are linked. V'ilamed Elyon Mitachton, which means that since they're linked, the earlier parsha, the Elyon, can now learn things from the later parsha, the Tachton, meaning Shomer Sachar can infer things from Shoel, which is that if the owner is with you, you're Pater. Same thing when a Shomer Sachar. Hakati Shoel mi Shomer Sachar lo Gamar. But you can't learn Shoel from Shomer Sachar, which would then go back to our original question. How do I know that if a Shoel has the animal stolen and the owner's with him, he's Pater? You can't do that. After all, a Shomer Sachar has an exemption. He's exempt if the animal dies. So a Shoel Shachai Bishvur Ometa, you can't say that about a Shoel, he's Chayiv. Therefore, if in the case of a Shomer Sachar, the Shomer is exempt if it's stolen while the owner's with him, that doesn't mean that in the case of a Shoel he'll be exempt if it's stolen while the owner's with him. Ella, the answer is Gnei Vaveda B'Shoel Chiyuv Amnal. And how do we know that a Shoel is Chai for Gnei Vaveda? We have to go in a different direction. The Gamar Mishomer Sachar, we learned it from Shomer Sachar, and therefore Dayola B'Aminadin Liot Kenidon. We're going to apply the principle of Dayo, which we dealt with at the beginning of the second parak of Bava Kamma, which is that whenever you learn a Chamur from a Kal, the Chamur can't be any stronger than the Kal. It can't be applied any more than the Kal. So Ma Gneva Vaveda Shomer Sachar, the Shomer Sachar Bailim Pater, just like in the index case, which is Gneva Vaveda Shomer Sachar, if the owner is there, you're Pater, Hav Gneva Vaveda Shoel, not Bailim Pater, same thing in the Shoel. So Anechel Mandi Le Dayo, that, of course, will only work if you accept the principle of Dayo. Elamanda Le Dayo Maikel Neymar, because if you don't accept Dayo, you might end up saying that in the case of a Shoel, you're Chai for Gneva Vaveda, even if the owner's with you. Amar Kra Vechi Yishal. The Pasuk says Vechi Yishal. Vav Mosif Al Nyan Rishon, which is what we said earlier. V'yilamed Elyon Mitachton Mitachton Me'Elyon. Now what we've done is said is a conduit. The Vav at the beginning of the Parsha of Shoel allows you to learn Shomer Sachar from Shoel and then back to Shoel. So the Shomer Sachar learns from Shoel that if the owner's with him, whatever you're normally liable for, you're not liable here. If the owner's with you, and it feeds back to Shoel, it says, even Gneva Vaveda, that we learned from Shomer Sachar, also comes along that if the owner is with you at the time, you're exempt. Okay, we'll stop at this point. Pick up Amir Tzashim in the next podcast on Daf Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph. Further inquiry into the liability of Shomrim. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.